Welcome to the Hudson Tunnel Project Media Conference Call. If you'd like to get in line to ask a question, please press star 1. If you have multiple questions, go ahead and ask them at the same time, as your line will be muted after your question. Or you can also press star 0 again to get back in the line for follow-up questions. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Steve Sigmund, Gateway Development Commission. Mr. Sigmund, please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, moderator, and thank you, everybody, for getting on. At this point, 15 months into virtual press conferences, I'm sure you know the drill, but you're going to a number of our commissioners from GDC as well as our partners are on the line. You're going to hear from our co-chairs, Balpreet Grohlwerk and Steve Cohen, as well as our vice chair, Tony Kosha. Balpreet is going to kick it off with just a little bit of comments on today's action by the FRA and FTA and approving the FEIS and ROD, and then we will open it up for questions. Balpreet?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. First of all, congratulations to all partners and parties involved in completing the FEIS and issuance of ROD by the Federal Railroad Administration. We've been waiting for this day for 3 years. This is a big step in the right direction, and the current administration got it done in 3 months. I can't forego thanking them, the Biden administration, specifically Secretary Buttigieg, Acting FRA Administrator Amit Bose, Acting FTA Administrator Nuria Fernandez, of course, the delegations of both states, both of our governors, Governor Murphy, Governor Cuomo. Congratulations to everyone on the line, and thank you. Thank you to my co-chair, Steve Cohen, Vice Chair Tony Kosha, for being such great partners in this, and, of course, our other partners, NJ Trans Kevin Corbett, Amtrak Steve Gardner, of course, Port Authority's Rick Cotton. Trust me when I say that we're in constant communication on this, and we've been doing a lot of work in the last few months. Today's decision indicates that we can move forward on multiple items, including property acquisition, advanced design development, and other pre-construction activities. It means that we're a step closer to the full funding grant agreement. It means that we're working towards one of the greatest infrastructure projects to improve the way we can travel on the most difficult conduits in the country. It's a good day, and we appreciate everyone's collaboration on this. And I just want to thank and congratulate everyone that made this happen.
Thank you. Thank you, co-chair. And we will take questions now, moderator.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 0. Again, to ask a question, please press star 0 now. One moment while we wait for questions. All right, and our first question is coming from Barry Higgs, NewJersey.com and Star Ledger.
Hi. Actually, the question is one that's come from our readers every time we write a Gateway story, and that is basically, do you have some kind of an estimated timeline for the project? In other words, how many months, years it may take to get the full funding agreement, how long it might take to do the preliminary engineering property acquisition? And, of course, the one that's asked the most is, once a contract is awarded, how long will construction take for the tunnel?
Steve, you want to take that first, and then maybe Frank could fill in?
Yeah, and look, the next big step for us is putting together the financing plan, which is happening very quickly, and building out the Gateway Commission itself. In terms of time estimate, I'll leave it to Frank. We've actually published that and discussed it in various forms. But I think that where we're going is to do this as quickly, efficiently, and as effectively as possible. But still, this is a long, complicated project. And the truth is, we are now at the real starting line, which is where we should have been 4 years ago.
Frank, do you want to give some specifics on timeline right now?
Yes, hi, it's Frank Saker here. Thank you, and thank you, Larry. Yes, I think co-chair Steve Cohen said it well, in terms of we're at the starting line. We are in close dialogue with FTA. And we'll be looking to update and progress our grant application. I don't want to predict the timing of that quite yet, but we are preparing obviously a number of work streams in parallel to, as the co-chair Cohen just said, to advance as quickly and efficiently as we can. So we will be continuing to work on this obviously through balance of this year and into next year. To progress to commence construction as soon as we can. I probably couldn't be more specific than that right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. To get in line to ask the question, please press star 1. All right, our next question is coming from Tom Bergeron, ROI New Jersey.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm going to push on more of the specifics. I'll ask it this way. If it isn't going by January 1st of 22 or January 1st of 23, at what point will you be surprised? And then the second question is going to be, with the current infrastructure type stimulus bill going on in Congress, how does that impact going forward? If that, for some reason, gets completely derailed, does that impact this project in any way? Talk about that connection. Thanks.
Yeah, let me just clarify one thing, which is we haven't been standing still for the last 4 years. Both the Gateway Commission, through Frank Saker and the folks who work at Gateway, Amtrak and New Jersey Transit, and both New York State and New Jersey and the Port Authority have all for the last 5 years been advancing this project. So we can talk about, and it's my phrase, today we are at the starting line. We're at the starting line in the sense that we now have a path and the real likelihood, in fact, we will get federal funding. But a lot of the past years have been spent doing a tremendous amount of prep work. So if you were to say to me, if we're not by January of 2022 already beginning, what does that mean? Well, the answer is we already are doing those things. Now, what you're going to need to see is the real progress on the funding plan, the real progress on the commitments from all the parties, and a real plan with our federal partners to begin to move this forward. But, you know, I will tell you right now, it is, nothing in life is inconceivable, but it is approaching inconceivable that would not be the case in the next several months, and certainly over the next year, you will begin to see things progress, including on the New York side, you know, all sorts of things that have to happen with respect to preparations for what it means to bring in two new tunnels into the city of New York, into Manhattan, and what it means for, you know, overall infrastructure and train capacity generally. And I'll leave it to Tony to talk about the Amtrak piece of it. But Amtrak will tell you, I don't want to take Tony's words away from him, but that they have been working on this project in a real way for years. Tony, anything to add?
Yeah, Steve, I think you said it well. And Amtrak began working on Gateway in earnest in 2011-12, and we've spent substantial amount of money on the project, including the concrete casing portion in order to preserve the right-of-way at Hudson Yards, not to mention, you know, being able to successfully take advantage of the record of decision that had existed from the ARC project in order to be able to expedite and move forward a funding plan and then ultimately completion of that funding plan for the Portal North project, not to mention literally tens of millions of dollars of engineering work that went into being able to make the submission that was made in order to get to the ROD that we're talking about today. And let me just circle back on that point, because I think it highlights the point that Steve was trying to make. When when the Gateway Initiative in earnest began and the partners that you're now talking to came together with the idea of advancing this project, they understood that the first part of this is to gain approvals, which is logical. The federal government does not want to commit significant funding or even begin the process of committing significant funding to a project until it believes that that project has gone through a rigorous process of assuring that it is actually in everyone's best interest, that you've explored alternatives, you've looked at environmental consequences, you've looked at the impact on the neighboring communities, you've determined, you know, its financial feasibility. All of those things have to be done, and that's what this EIS process is about. The point that I want to make that highlights the point Steve is making here is that when we began this process in earnest, we determined to complete everything necessary for that submission within a two-year time period. And I'll tell you from experience on ARC, as well as many other mega projects that have been considered around the country, being able to do a full submission for a under the NEPA process to obtain environmental clearance from the federal government and have all of that work completed in a two-year process requires both significant expense and a lot of diligence, all of which the people who are now represented on this call were part of doing and did it in a two-year period to complete it so that we should have, by all rights, have obtained the decision we're getting today in 2018. And as has been pointed out, that process has been unnecessarily delayed. So to Steve's point, not only have we been doing things, but we actually broke some clear records in being able to complete that work as efficiently, as quickly as possible, unfortunately only to have it stymied by the prior administration's refusal to advance it.
Thank you. Moderator, we can go to the next question. There, just so you guys know, there's about six or seven more in the queue.
All right, and that question's coming from Elise Young of New York One.
You all know this already, but Elise Young is not of New York One. She's at Bloomberg.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for making yourself available. Just one quick question. How far along is design? What is the percentage completed? Thank you.
Frank, you want to take
that? Yeah. I can. Sure. Hi, Elise. That's Frank Saker here. So with respect to the new tunnel, we have a draft 30% design. So to go to both Vice Chair Kosher and Co-Chair Cohen's comments just before, there's been a lot of work being progressing in parallel here. So as you know, that's a substantive amount of work to get to that point and tease us up well. From a potential preparation for procurement perspective, the concrete casing. I should point out the concrete. Amtrak, I believe, has that's at a 100% design is ready to proceed. And then with regard to the rehabilitation of the North River Tunnel, that work is further off into the future at the moment. That's at a 10% design level.
Thank you. Thanks, Frank.
All right. Our next question is coming from Max Rosenberg, WCBS News Radio.
Hi. Thanks for making yourselves available. Just curious, in what came back from the federal government, this environmental impact review, was there anything in there that caught you guys off guard that you may have to kind of change about the plan going forward?
I think the answer is no, but I'll defer to Frank and Tony.
Thank you. Chair Cohen is correct, and I think I'll add that the work that's been going on in recent months between all of the partners and FRA and FTA, it's been very collaborative and so no surprises there.
Yeah, let me just jump in on that because I think that highlights an important issue here, which is as Tony noted, we've just lived through a very strange period where our federal partner was not a partner, which is why there were surprises. There should be no surprises. There can be disagreements, there can be discussions, there can be criticisms, there can be tweaking, but there shouldn't be surprises. And so we're now back in a world that is the one that we all should be living in, which is normal planning, normal discussions, everybody rowing in the same direction. And on this project, you know, we say it all the time, this is the critical national project. Understand why. This is not about the New York metro area. This is not about the Northeast Corridor. This is about the economy of the United States. And the main artery bringing people in and out of New York City should be just that, a healthy artery, not a chokehold. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we do need a federal partner. And we have one now.
Great. Thank you. Next question.
Steve?
Yep.
I was just saying, it's Kevin Corby. Just to add on that, the emphasize the cooperation, the great cooperation, you know, New Jersey Transit obviously leading with the EIS and the work that we did with Portal, where we also FRA, FTA, we just had the Portal, grant, and the work we've done with FTA and FRA, the relationships are extremely strong on the staff level, both on the regional and in at headquarters. And I think that augurs very well for, rapidly moving forward with going forward.
Thank you. Moderator, next question.
Sure. I'd just like to remind everyone that if you do have a question, please press star 1. At this time, our next question is coming from Dave Collin, Street Blog.
Hey, guys. Happy three-day weekend. I had a few quotes from yesterday that the governor, Governor Cuomo, brought up in regards to Gateway. It sounds like he still wants to go with the plan from London Bridge Associates, the report that he came out with that was released last year. One of the things he said is, if the federal government wants to do stupid, they can do stupid with their money, but we're not going to do stupid with our money. He suggested that New York isn't going to pay for any of this at all. I'm telling Amtrak today, and I'm telling federal officials today, we expect a fair deal from the federal government and Amtrak. Don't expect New Yorkers to have fixed Harold Interlocking, pay for Moynihan, without stepping up and fulfilling what has been their delinquent role in New York. He said that they were extorted as part of the Gateway project. Why should New York pay for Gateway? I don't have any trains going through Gateway. So what does that mean for the project if the government sounds like he just doesn't want to deal?
I guess I should take that one. Unless Tony or Valpreet, you want to jump in here? Let me explain a couple of things. One is, there's a reason why Andrew Cuomo is the greatest infrastructure governor in the country and perhaps in the last 75 years. It's because he's blunt, he's direct, and he wants to get things done. And he wants to do them efficiently. He wants to embrace new technologies and new techniques. And he doesn't believe that the process of building is a static process where you are beholden and embedded in a design that may be stuck in time and could be improved. So what you're getting from Andrew Cuomo is Andrew Cuomo's view of the world, which is, we are going to move this project. New York money is going to be in this project, and that means it's going to be well spent. It's going to be spent efficiently and effectively. That's Andrew Cuomo. Now, his view on the funding, the most important thing he said is, New York is in for its 25%. However we got here, and understand the frustration from the standpoint of the New York governor. We have Moynihan Station, which was really a team effort, but New York was very much a driver in that process and very much a funder in that process. We're now in Gateway for 25%, speaking with my New York hat on. His point is exactly right. This is not something that helps the New York customer. It may help the New York economy, but it helps all economies. So what he's saying is, understand, we're going to be a partner, but we're going to be an active partner. We're going to be a good partner, and we're going to be a partner that expects that the others who are involved recognize, appreciate, and embrace our needs in the same way we are recognizing, respecting, and embracing their needs. And I think, speaking for the New York portion of Gateway, that's where we are. And that's why we can happily say today, thank God we now have a federal partner, and we are now moving forward together, but mindful of what the governor says. If there is a faster, more effective way to do this project, if we can shave dollars or shave years, and by the way, shaving years is shaving dollars, we'll embrace it. And I think I'm speaking for everybody when I say that. We can argue amongst ourselves about how the best way to do that is, but when there is a way to do that, we will all embrace it.
All right, our next question is coming from Cole Jarvis, P3 Bulletin.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for your time today. Just wanted to see whether there's any updates you can give on the potential use of private investment for the project, and whether you're sort of starting to look to engage the market on any of that.
Frank, you want to take that?
I can. Hi, Cole. Cole, thank you very much for that. How's it going? What I'd say there is that we have a current financial plan. We're in the process of updating that, and as you know, an important part of that is determining the best value delivery of the project. That plan right now includes various delivery methods, including design build, and we're pursuing those avenues. I think if we see value for involvement of the private sector, and as I think you've heard me say before about the risk allocation of that is very important, then we will consider that as well. So it's a big project. I think there's going to be lots of opportunities here and opportunities for value, and we will explore all of them. I think it's probably the best I can say right now.
Next question.
Our next question is coming from Alfonso Castillo of Newsday.
Hello. Hi, thanks for doing this. For Long Island commuters, who I know make up most of the commuters at Penn Station, they might be looking at this and thinking, what do we care? What's in it for us? Can you talk about how, even though these tunnels would not be used by the Long Island Railroad, how there is a benefit to Long Island commuters coming in and out of Penn Station from these improvements?
You've got to look at the overall project, and this gets back to what I was alluding to a few minutes ago and why, New York remains committed to its 25%, committed to building those two new tunnels as quickly as possible. but you've got to look at the overall infrastructure plan. And the overall infrastructure plan, whether you call it, part of Gateway or simply projects that are critical to New York, MTA, Amtrak, New Jersey Transit, and even the Port Authority, involve an expanded Penn Station, a more efficient station, a redesign and expansion of old Penn Station. So this is a situation where the overall project writ large is going to be an improvement to everybody. Plus, not just the physical structure, whether you're from Long Island, Westchester, Staten Island, or frankly the lower Hudson Valley, it doesn't matter. These kinds of projects are critical to the economy of the region. We can't have a world-class leading economy if we have third world infrastructure, and that affects everybody who lives in this region. But the immediate effect to the Long Island commuter will be that these facilities need to be and finally will be brought into a world where things don't look like they were designed, in some ring of hell.
All right, our next question is coming from Steve Nesson, WNYC Radio.
Hey, guys. Just to follow up on Dave Colon's question about Governor Cuomo suddenly taking quite an interest in how New York's money is spent, will you let his experts come in and advise the best and cheaper way to do the project, which he sort of alluded to yesterday?
First of all, to be clear, the governor has always been interested. That is not new on every infrastructure project. And I can tell you whether I like it or not, I served on the Port Authority board. I've been involved with Gateway for, 5 years. This governor has a laser-like focus on spending and infrastructure and takes great pride in what he has been able to accomplish with the Tappan Zee Bridge, Moynihan Station, the L train rehab. So this is no different. And of course, New York is a partner, and the New York expertise that the governor has brought to bear is available, has been available, and has already worked as part of this process and will continue to do so. And the truth is, somebody asking hard questions is not always comfortable, but it produces a better result. And I can speak for all of the partners because I speak to them on an almost daily basis. They welcome the pressure that somebody like Governor Cuomo imposes because it gets a better result.
Yeah, hi. It's Tony Kosha. I just want to concur with what Steve Cohen just said. In fact, I have to say that from Amtrak's perspective, we are actually very aggressively interested in finding the smartest, the most efficient ways of doing projects like this. This is not the only one we have to build. We have this kind of responsibility now that we have an administration that is supportive of infrastructure and a president who understands its value. We are completely committed toward finding the best solutions to some of these problems, including here in Gateway and in other projects. And we, in fact, intend to also apply that same amount of pressure to all of our partners as well on all elements of the transaction in order to make sure that they go forward. So, yes, I do agree that that kind of healthy tension is what makes a project better.
Hi, it's Val Preet. I also have to echo what both Steve and Tony are saying. Listen, I mean, this is something that we're all wanting to shave, as Steve said, time off of, aka money off of, and we want to be as cost effective as possible. We all have skin in the game here. So I don't think this is a single partner issue or one state issue. We're all trying to make sure that this is as cost effective as we can make this project. So, thank you for mentioning that, Stevie. Steve, and of course, we're on board as well, saying the same thing from New Jersey.
Thank you. Next question.
Our next question is from Michael Allinson, Daily News.
Hi. A request and a question. A request to Steve Sigmund. Thank you for putting the last audio up on the website. Hopefully this audio can go on the website quickly. And please, if you can put the audio from the first session in March up on the website. Couple questions. As to that first session, Vice Chair from New Jersey, Val Preet, have you read the London Bridge Associates report since you just said you want to find innovative ways to save time and money? And the other thing for anyone, maybe Frank Saker knows this, today is the day that the Federal Transit Administration rates the CIG projects. Did the tunnel, which was submitted back in September by the Port Authority, did it receive a rating today? What is that rating? So to Ms. Balpreet, have you read London Bridge, and do you want to find efficient ways to save money? And to someone, what happened to the FTA rating, which was due today?
All right. Yes, I have reviewed the London Bridge report, and all I can say is yes, of course, to your second question there, we are looking to make sure that we are cost effective, and we review whatever materials we receive very seriously because we're in it together. I mean, I just said that, Steve said it, Tony said the same. Our goal here is not to make things more expensive. We are working towards efforts on making sure we're reducing costs as much as possible. And in fact, because of those efforts, we have already, we've identified $1.4 billion in cost estimates that were reduced in 2019. So to answer your first question, yes, I've read it and I've reviewed it. And to your second, of course, you're being cost effective. I'm going to pitch to Frank again on the other piece on the rating, or if anyone else wants to jump in on that.
Yeah. Thank you, Co-Chair. Hi, Michael. On that question, as of 11:48, we have not received any feedback yet from FTA, but the President's budget, I understand, is due today, and typically feedback from FTA on rating on grant applications is at this contemporaneous with that president's budget. So we do anticipate, I'd say, very shortly to receive feedback from FTA.
Next question.
All right. And before that question, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Again, to ask a question, the command is star 1. And this question is coming from Larry Higgs, NewJersey.com, and Star Ledger.
Thanks. Thanks for the second shot. My questions have to do with financing. Basically, how many grants and loans do you plan to apply for? And what's the timeline for applying for those? Is it something that will be done simultaneously, or does it have to wait for the federal funding agreement to happen? And the final question is, with New York State announcing so many infrastructure projects, is there a funding concern that they will have the 25% to put up?
Let me do the last one first, and then I'll turn it over to Frank, who is much more facile with the details of the long-term financial options, to the extent he's in a position to answer that. And the short answer to your question is no. New York isn't going to have a problem. Frankly, I'll speak for New Jersey as well, nor will New Jersey. These projects are largely going to be funded out of low-interest federal loans. There is currently, as we're watching unfold in Washington, an unprecedented level of much-needed infrastructure dollars, and I think that we, as a nation, but from the standpoint of the region, are at a critical point where there have been, you know, literally decades where we have not done what is needed to do to maintain our infrastructure, and now is the time to repair and correct, or a day of reckoning will be upon us. And I don't think that any of the partners are concerned about the financial commitments that are necessary. The money is there. The money will be there, as will the commitment. And I'll turn it to Frank, or unless Tony wants to, or Valpreet wants to elucidate on, you know, anything I just said.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, you know, we have financial plans in place, and like you said, Tony, I mean, we also have access to low-interest federal loans, and we'll be replaying some of that with local partners. But between RIF and TIFIA, there's $100 billion in loan capacity waiting to be used to help national infrastructure projects just like this one. And most importantly, and I said this at the very beginning, the key here is that we're working with an administration that has a common goal, and we're all moving towards building this project and getting it underway as soon as possible. So, I mean, all the efforts are collaborative here, and we have great partners both at the local and federal level. And so far, and I'll tell you, you know, it was mentioned earlier, we're in constant communication. And the goal is to get this project fully underway as soon as possible and getting that federal funding. And we're all working towards that. And I just like Steve said, we're going to get there. We really are.
Let me just add one other thing to add to what Valpreet and Steve just said about this point. And this circles back to the point that I think Steve made at the outset of this call, which is that one of the reasons why the states are in a position to financially support the project in this manner is that in the period of time leading up to now, a lot of work was done under leadership from Chuck Schumer, who's supported by Senator Menendez and Senator Booker, to modify the federal statutes that permit this kind of a lending program to be used and provide a very efficient lending program for a long asset like the one we're talking about here, the RIF program. So the good work that Senator Schumer, Menendez, and Booker did years ago to do that set up a very user-friendly, compatible financing scheme that could be used by the two states in order to meet their commitments here. Now, during the Trump administration, they sort of made it appear as though that program was not available to the states, something that we legally took issue with, and that now has been corrected by the Biden administration in February that made that loan program available again to the states for programs like this. So again, to Steve's point about how we have not been sitting on our hands, a lot of work went into creating federal loan capacity for the states to use to make it easier for them to afford their commitment. It was, of course, sidetracked by the past administration, but the Biden administration, acting, I know, in concert with Senator Schumer, very quickly turned that around and in February made it available again.
Thank you. Moderator, next question.
Sure. Our last question is coming from Danielle Moyo of Politico.
Hi. Yeah, thanks again for doing this. I wanted to circle back to Governor Cuomo's comments from yesterday and ask it in a different way. You know, I think there's a kind of a consensus, it seems, of willingness to look for a more cost-effective approach. But from how I read it with the LBA report, it could severely curtail the argument and need for the extra tunnel to increase capacity, which for a while was really the primary need for this project. So I guess my question is there a concern that with these comments from the governor, the project could take a very different form than how it has been conceived the last several years?
Look, let me put this in a slightly different context, which is in the history of this project, which will continue for, my guess is, another decade. Today is a critically important day, because today is the day it is now clear that we have a federal partner that is going to allow us to move forward on this project, which is critical, not exclusively about increasing capacity. This project didn't begin about increasing capacity. It began about increasing resiliency and redundancy. And that is something to always remember. I think the reality is the regional economy is going to come roaring back, and we are going to find that it is thankfully also necessary to increase capacity. And I'm happy to talk at a different time about that issue and why I am so bullish on the regional economy. What the governor is saying is, and by the way, you know, I'm thankful that he says these things bluntly, directly, unvarnished, so you hear him. He's saying, I was told that with respect to the L train, there was only one way to do it. And the experts say, don't even bother thinking about alternatives. And he said, yeah, not knowing anything, because I'm not an engineer, I still wonder whether something different is possible. Turns out he was right. He's been right a lot when it comes to infrastructure projects. So what Governor Cuomo is saying, what he frequently says is, stop telling me what the experts say. I think he would even quote Mark Twain, an expert is a guy from another town. That's all it is. And so he's saying, if there is a way to do this project, not instead of building two new tunnels, people keep reporting that. They keep reporting, Cuomo says you don't need the two new tunnels. No, he doesn't. He says you absolutely need the two new tunnels. What we're debating is whether or not there is a way to rehab the old tunnels more efficiently and more quickly. So were it to be possible, and the LBA report does not conclude it is, they raise those questions and give a path that says it might be possible to rehab in place while you're building those new tunnels. So the benefit of that, were it to be possible, and there is, you know, always a robust conversation about that, were that to happen, what you would do is you would have a situation where your project would be completed in a much more efficient manner, simply because everything would be done simultaneously. By the way, project gets more complicated the minute you start doing everything simultaneously, but everything would be done simultaneously, and that means the rehab would not have to wait the completion of the new tunnels and then the shutdown of the old tunnels. And so what the governor is saying is, yeah, look at that. Not do it that way. Look at it and give it a serious look. And by the way, if he didn't say that, if he wasn't pushing on that, then this would not be the Andrew Cuomo I know. Because that's what he does. He pushes. He questions. He wants it done more quickly. That's how you did Tappan Zee Bridge in 4 years. That's how Moynihan finally got done. That's how Eastside Access got done. And so, I mean, Tony said it earlier. It's welcome. It is absolutely welcome, and it is the right approach to any kind of major infrastructure project. And I hope that answered your question.
And to add on...
And yes, I am passionate about it.
No, that's... And to add on as well, let's remember what was approved today by the FRA was the project, or is the project, as it's planned today, which is the full rehab of the existing tunnels and two new tunnels. So let's not lose that. That was approved today.
Yeah, and let me just add to that, and let me add to that, I guess, the following. One is that, and I agree with what Steve said, not just Governor Cuomo, but Governor Murphy, Senator Schumer, Senator Booker, Senator Menendez, we hear from them often, and we should, and they speak up often, and we should. I know we had an issue with the raising of the Portal Bridge and the difficulty of getting the Coast Guard to cooperate with us on timing on that when we were troubled there, and Senator Menendez spoke up very forcefully, and as a result of that, we were able to fix it. I mentioned a few minutes ago that because of Senator Schumer, the RIF financing is back in place, not to mention that both Senator Schumer, Senator Booker, Menendez, and a host of others have been very aggressive about pushing for increased funding and all that capacity to get this thing done. These are not these challenges to the project are what's ultimately going to make it happen. With respect to this issue, the analysis that was done in the lead up to where we are today did examine a number of different options. And this ROD reflects an option, which we all believe is the strongest option to get this done, which is to build the new tunnel. In advance of that, Amtrak has already begun an extensive remediation and rehabilitation program to assure that the existing North River tunnels can remain in place. But think about it logically. Once the new tunnels are built, there are two tubes in the existing tunnel. One of them can be taken out at a time completely, which would leave us with a three-tube capacity between New York and New Jersey, which is a very robust capacity that doesn't require taking the risk of putting tons of commuters every day at risk that an overnight construction project won't be able to happen. And it is because of all of the pushing that was done by all the parties that we came up with the best possible option, which is how this project will proceed. So there are very strong facts to support the position that we've taken. And in fact, those facts were arrived at because of all the pushing that's happened and because of all the debate that's taken place, which is how a project like this should advance.
But I wouldn't be properly serving the role I'm supposed to serve as an appointee by the Cuomo administration if I didn't highlight one point. If there is a way to do this project that does not put the morning commute at risk, and to do it simultaneously and save the kind of time and therefore money that would be saved, of course we're going to do it that way, and of course we're going to look at it. But as Tony said, this is a complicated project where there are all sorts of considerations that will go into place, and we will continue to look at these things. The fact that we move forward on something, even when there is a final plan, and that is finalized, if there is a new technology that can save time and money and not put the project at risk, of course we're going to look at it. That's what our job is. And I think I'm speaking for the entire board of Gateway when I say that.
Thank you, moderator. No further questions. Jess?
No further questions.
Before I just want to thank everybody who's been involved in this, our federal partners, the senators, the four senators from New York and New Jersey, but there have been a collection of people, especially over the past 6 months, who have intensified their efforts. And I think it's known that, you know, it's not as if I always get along with everybody. My job isn't to get along with everybody. But this has been an effort where the coordinated group of people really has been extraordinary. And I think going forward, we are in a place where you really can see how this grand scheme is becoming a reality. And I just take tremendous satisfaction, and in particular, Jerry Zarrow, Tony Kosha, Val Preet, and all of those who have served for the last 5 years in somewhat obscure positions because of The reality is what has gone on with the prior administration, and Frank Saker and Suma Mandel as well, Marie Corrado and Ayelet Hirschhorn have all been there working daily on this, and it really is it's quite a good day for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. And yes, Valerie here, same here. I mean, that's what I started out with, just congratulations and thank you to all those involved. And it's great to have great partners and just knowing that we're working collaboratively. We have been over the past few months and years and moving forward just in that same direction and making sure we really get to where we need to be. So thank you and congratulations, everyone, today.
Yeah, and I'll just round that out by saying that, in fact, the two governors, Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy, have been incredible proponents of what we're trying to accomplish here. And you know, we're grateful to everything that they've done.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator. You can close the call.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining, and you may now disconnect.